well, what, like three-quarters of a million to make, I'm a multi-millionaire. But those end of the spectrum are really relatively small numbers of people, the majority fit in between. Such a person, pays such an amount of money, it doesn't make sense. What if a woman whose husband is Prince Charming, best husband you could ever imagine, but one day, nichnas of a ruach shtus, he becomes silly, she decides that she meets someone at work who's taller, handsomer, richer. Those end of the spectrum are really relatively small numbers of people, the majority fit in between. Such a person takes such an amount of money, it doesn't make sense. What if a woman whose husband is Prince Charming, best husband you could ever imagine, but one day, nichnas of a ruach shtus, he becomes silly. She decides that she meets someone at work who's taller, handsomer, richer than her present husband, and she wants to dump her first and move on with this guy. But she's not going to buy herself a favor. She's not going to commit adultery. She's an observant woman. So, she'll pull out this piece of paper and say, listen, I want this money. And she knows the husband can't afford it. The new one can afford it, but the old one can't afford it. And he's going to be victimized. And it's like, not fair, not right. So then, the clause is built in. If he goes to bed, and he summons her to come to bed, and she either refuses to come to the bed, or refuses to comply with the ruling of the bed, then his obligation terminates. But on the other hand, if the bed either commands him, says he absolutely must give a gift, or even, here's a very critical point, if they recommend that he give a gift, if he recommends to give the get, and he doesn't do it, then the agreement is in full force. Why do I say the word recommend? Especially these days, Bezdin is loath to force, and even to say he's obligated without the degree of force. There are three letters. They can force you, it's almost one in a million, or one in a thousand. Then in the cases where you're high up the guy, which you're required to give the get, but they still won't force you. Then there's other cases where it's mitzvah l'garish, not officially obligated by the strict law, but they've been this idiot that you are. Go on with your life. Be the best in a disinterested party. You see what's best for both of you. Give the get already. Even in that case, the obligation would, in fact, still apply. Yeah?
Is there ever a case where the Beit Din will rule that he is not to give a get?
Not obligated or not required?
Not
I mean, not obligated or not allowed to?
Should not.
Should not give a get. He wants to give a get, I can't imagine. Why should Bezdin not let him give a get?
Well, maybe rephrase it. Doesn't have to.
Yeah, sure. This came, this gave him. I mean, she wants to leave him for this other guy. That she, first, we should make an effort to explain to him how immoral it is, how wrong it is, you know, and it's not going to be so expedient either. So, you know, you better just forget about it. Maybe she'll just forget about it, and then it'll be a passing nightmare. Many of us know some of these passing nightmares. And then she'll come back to her senses. And in many other cases, I can imagine, there was a guy who just didn't do anything wrong. She wants that. Why? Incompatibility, or in other words, it was just an outgrowth of marriage. And the guy said, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. So Bezdin, I can't say, well, I'm in a rush to bring this marriage to an end. What could happen is that after X number of time, amount of time passes, Bezdin will tell you, listen, mister, you were a victim, no question, you've been wrong, but in our better judgment, she's beyond hope. So if you're going to hang on, you're going to be beyond hope, so just go on with your life. And they say, listen, so you're a victim, but we're giving a recommendation to give the gift. They don't do that. It'll be a question of how to handle each case in particular. But they did have some leeway in these matters. Anyway, it's also written into the agreement that the husband waives his right to her earnings. That's important, as we said before. Truth is, as we mentioned before, the details and intricacies could be not so necessary because her earnings are what we call extra earnings. It's called adafa, which is not subject to the husband collecting it. Again, it's complicated, but we put it in the document. He waives the right to her earnings during the period of time that this obligation is in effect. That's what it is in a nutshell. This agreement, which is again, I told you, started for Rav Zalman Nachman Goldberg originally, turns out this is all of the hills. We thought of the Jewish betting now in the 1990s. It goes back to the 1600s, maybe even the Middle Ages. It's called Hakonat Shum. It's printed in every tzunoim. Don't realize every tzunoim has it, but connected by reference. Any word incorporated by reference. The reference refers to Hakonat Shum. Every tzunoim, not Rav Moshe Tzom says nothing. The classical tzunoim that people still sign, especially by Chassidim, even in Yeshiva world they're signing it, is Mapat Idur Uktat Yomat Hakonat Shum. Shum is Shpire of Amazon again, three great citizens in Western Europe, France, Germany. And Hakonat Shum of Khtatni, in the case of the fight, and then along under the same roof, the husband agreed in advance to pay the woman a sum of X gold pieces a month. You don't know exactly what that means. I try to figure out that pull of an earning power, how much of it was exaggerated or not, I can't tell. But X dollars. Until it says the Bed will be able to make peace. Very optimistic, but you know that even the Bed and the Ben couldn't always make peace. The implication is if the guy wants to ignore the Bed with impunity, he couldn't do it. You have to pay X dollars per month. So it's really, it's an old, old story. True, most people don't know what they're signing. And then they sign it to know them. That's true. Nevertheless, it's probably binding anyway. Sorry?
Not really.
It says in a classical tool, that's enough. If you sign something, if I have a big, I don't know, a big lease, sure, the lease is yay big. And then you sign a certain piece of paper. I have read all the details of the lease from the rules from identifying number, which I'm incorporating now into my reference. I'm signing this piece of paper, which is I abide by the rule of that lease. Lease XYZ. Fine. It's it. I sign, I agree to follow my condition. What's that condition? Look at the fine print, you see what that condition is. It's an alpha shim, it's in the test. Look it up, I have it in my house. That's it, that's the fine. Now, of course, doesn't say how much the money's worth there. That's exactly that's some of a problem. The gold coin, you know what the Polish gold coin of 1600s, we don't know what it is. In principle, it certainly doesn't apply. The rabbis weren't afraid then about bringing up unpleasant matters before the wedding. They said, Ktat is a fight. They talk about it before the wedding, the case is a fight. Yeah, fight. Talk about it. It's a very negative term. It's a fight. They talk about it.
The word
Ketat has been tonight?
No.
Absolutely. Every standard tonight. Not Rabbi Moshe's tonight. Rabbi Moshe said that the tonight was being used as a joke. We're going to back out, we're going to pay money to this side. We're back out. The sign is an hour before the wedding. Those used to sign it for the coming engagement. You want a nondescript, it says almost nothing. They're not married, they'll be happy, they want to hide from each other, they want to live.
Bracha,
yeah, I'm not saying no. Well, make a few more kibbutzim out of it. It's a great thing, but it doesn't say anything. Yeah.
In a rare case of where a woman, for some reason, doesn't care about the get, she just, decides to leave, and you would sometimes say, but the husband wants to give a get, but
she won't take it. Terrible.
Is there any?
Do you have any recourse?
Since you said that we hold that the woman also has to consent again.
Absolutely.
So is there any?
Yeah, there is a recourse in some extreme cases. This is called Hetter Meir Abon. When the Gershom instituted his cherem, he was trying to make things better, not worse. So therefore, he said, yes, it's true that a woman cannot be divorced against her will. But if she is an effective castrate, or clearly she's institutionalized, whatever, it becomes in rare extreme cases. And if you get 100 rabbis to sign, and put the get in escrow, and she will want to pick it up, or she gets better, then he can, in effect, take another wife. That's called Hefter Meir Abon. Unfortunately, again, to my shame, I'm the third time I'm being shamed tonight, there are certain unscrupulous rabbis who abuse this as a criminal. Hefter Meir Abon, and unless your wife comes to pick it up, they don't give it to her, which is absolutely outrageous, may nullify the whole thing, and the guy's not fair. It's a terrible thing. Even that's been abused. I mean, unfortunately, every conscience is built from having into the law. The world is imperfect. This, therefore, is its prenuptial. Now, the same prenuptial will become a postnuptial. I have to tell you, many of my Talmidim, their prenuptial is also postnuptial. Yeah, but they're supposed to sign before the wedding. And they're signing at the wedding. At the wedding, after you already gave her the ring. So it says, wife, I'm going to give it out. Wife to be. They won't take one. Wife to be, it's not really true wife to be, but all right. I guess it's important to be. But yeah.
If, according
to. If you're not using them, I'm leaving back. If you're already married, I'm leaving back. I'm going to kill getting married. Yeah.
With the. I just heard you mentioned the Hetzner Rabbanim, that they put the get in escrow.
Right.
There is that concept of putting the get in escrow.
Right.
Why would it be incorrect to, in effect, sign a get at the same time that you're signing a ksuba and put it in escrow?
Wonderful idea. The first time they live together as husband and wife,
that's
the problem. It'll last for a few hours and then it's ready to be husband and wife.
As it would be in the same case with this Hezron Rabbanim. In other words, okay, you put them in get escrow and then they decide, well...
Well, yeah, but that's not that way.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay, good. All right, so with all the introductions that we have, let's read this production. I don't have the folder. I don't have enough copies of it. But it's the same thing, it's just take the wife to be. There's a few obvious corrections.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Does this count for the prenuptial agreement for, I missed what you said earlier, for married, already married couples?
Well, obviously if you're married, you can't even pre.
Right, so then what
post.
Same thing,
I just have a few words
after we
came.
This is the postnuptial agreement.
Same thing. I mean, when I say the same thing, I mean the same basic thing.
The big question on this, I'm very interested. I mean, if you've married so many years and then suddenly you present this to your husband, who's like totally against even talking about such matters, what do you do? How do you handle this thing?
Go to marriage counsel.
Some
of my shul came to me and said, Rabbi, I'd love to find a leader. I just can't do it. Why can't you? What's the problem? Well,
I'm
just saying, the man was a great grandfather. I can't do it. Why? Couldn't figure out how to custody of the children, what to do with that. The children were already grandparents. He's quipping with me, you know. Baruch Hashem, he's privileged to quip about it. I hope that he and his children and his grandchildren, great grandchildren, also have to quip about it. Okay.
If by signing that on the wife's, from the wife's end, because everyone, I mean, we're concentrating on the husband's obligation to the wife, but in the reverse, by the wife signing, she is in effect relinquishing her rights to any kind of legal arbitration that's not allowed.
We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll get to that. Okay. Let's go slow. Page one. This is the what they call the obligation itself. So I, the undersigned, husband to be. And again, if you're married, the obligation to be. Hereby obligated to myself for my wife to be. In the matter of Jewish husbands who feed and support their wives loyally. The first sentence, thank God, platitudes. I mean, you don't need this, but you don't want to start such a terrible thing. So this is, you know, what's written, Kirchhoff's given you dogs, you didn't make you have to support your wife. God forbid you do not continue with domestic relations together for whatever reason. Then I now, here's the Hebrew term, may actually obligate myself to pay her blank for that. I need 250, the case may be. Should be an exaggeration. Should be an estimate. Index, I have to see CPI. For food and support, parnasla, that's a general term which includes, you know, clothing and rent, the whole story. The baby no longer to continue domestic residence together after the duration of a Jewish marriage, payable each week, even if she has another source of income for earnings. Right. Can't you pay her? Listen, you already make a living, leave me out. Whereas the more I weigh my life right to her earnings for that period. That's the obligation. But as we said before, protect the husband, you put in the second half. However, it's an obligation. So terminate if my wife refuses to appear upon 2 months for a bed in the blank, or any of the beds that sets one around that bed before the proceedings commence. The purpose of a hearing concerning any outstanding between us, or in the event that she fails to abide by the decision or recommendation of the bed, then that's the whole thing. The rest is just window dressing. That's important, how to get it done. As we spoke about it, we explained, in our oral constipation. That's written over here. This is the obligation of the husband, the protection built in for him, and this is in effect a kanashum. This is just the world today because of the 20th century.
In a society where people put their childhood, you know, and they live in an urban center and they have a country house also, or bungalow or something, what's a domestic residence?
That's a good question. I mean, if anything you write, you always have, you know, minutiae, no matter how far you go. Are they together? They're not together. She went away to Florida for a week. Right. All of a sudden, hey, it's a good idea. Away for a week, I'll let get on letting her make $700 a week. Not bad. If she values her marriage, I think she'll decide it's not a good idea. Okay, that's page one. The truth is that the bride doesn't really have to sign this, frankly, because this is a unilateral back, but that's the lawyer said he wants it.
Does the payment, the sum, because the get process takes some time, so this is for the duration.
Let's say the man is acting in completely good faith. Completely good faith. He wants to do what's right, and it's right to get the divorce. Doesn't do it. Give her a get, give her a get. But you know, till they start, till the end, it takes a month, it takes 3 months, it takes whatever long it takes. And of course, being $3,000, $10,000, give up. Not fair. The answer is, maybe this is very something. Maybe it really is fair. Maybe it's obligated to support her because they're technically married. If it's not fair, the president has its ways of seeing to it that this obligation be, in effect, quote unquote, canceled out by other distributions that are made. The arbitration is the next page. It says that they tend to call a little particular burden, paragraph one, a particular burden. And the key is what's important, the rest of it again, just basically technical stuff. What's really important is paragraph three, section three, no removal. This is very important. And it's a little sticky. A. The parties agree that the best is authorized to settle all issues relating to a get, which of course is all the issues relating to criminal agreements, e.g., ketubah, tzinoim. Tzinoim, of course, includes the previous page, which is tzinoim. And then to the husband and the wife. That's obvious. And if not that, what is the best there for? The B, C, and D are interesting. B. The parties agree that the best is authorized to settle any other monetary disputes that may arise between them. Now, first, mentioned before that some women may be loath to do this, but they feel that they'll be better off in a court of law than they will be in a bed from the financial perspective. For example, equitable distribution. Yeah, sorry.
No, finish your thought.
Equitable distribution, which is a concept that most brothers don't accept. Which means, for example, the husband. Certain financial advances while he was married to his wife. That's called joint property. And according to the law, as I understand it, in New York, she's entitled to a significant chunk, approximately 50%, exactly, of that income. That's a lot of money. According to Allah, that may not necessarily be heard. It's a very serious issue. Alimony, for example. Alimony does not exist in Allah. Was serious if it was, in the case of whatever it may be. That's it. So she's not entitled. So the woman may say, hey, buy a grid, go to the bezdin, to work to the amount of grid. I'm losing out my alimony, I'm losing out my greater equitable distribution. It's not worth it for me. Well, the reason why it was made optional, not that no rabbi is permitted under normal conditions to allow her to go to court in any event, whether she signs it or not. Since not every woman would be willing to sign, so that's what's put in. But the truth is, really, a woman should be going to bed with or without this agreement. She shouldn't be going to secular court under normal conditions. Secular court is something that's needed when there's the force of sacrament. Bezdin, yes. There can be certain cases, such as C, for example. C, the parties may agree that the bezdin is authorized to establish that the child support is taken in custody. C is always subject to the review and agreement of the agreement of the secular court. Even monetary arbitration, secular court can review. But C, which is the child support in custody and detention, the court just is its own province and domain. It can't be arbitrated, or can't give it away over to arbitration. Nevertheless, a court having known, give great weight to opinions given by Batei Din in these kinds of situations. You know, depending on the circumstances. This, if both parties, really is almost redundant because it's an option anyway. So that can be put in, put out. I just really want it to be there so people should realize that this is something which is an option. You know, when you hear about the rabbis' children who are studying in Catholic schools, you know, it gives you pause. No guarantee that the rabbi would win the case with this in place, because of course, no guarantee, but it still increases the chances of the thing happening without a Jewish person claiming that he agreed to judge it in a bad din. And secular court very hard to stand a good chance of upholding the best, but even in these matters. So therefore, just to answer your question, which was said before, sure, a woman may be hesitant to quote unquote give away what she could take and take it to court, but from the perspective of halacha, she's not allowed to take it in the first place. So she's not going to give anything away. That's the pure idealistic perspective. Yes?
Roman rule 3, let's say someone has decided to delete the three optional clauses.
Right, the whole thing.
Yeah,
good.
So in other words, A has to be included, correct?
Well, what are they going
to say? What does A add to the prenuptial agreement?
Nothing. In other words, if he signed this and they wrote the name of the bed in here,
yeah,
it adds a bunch of technicalities.
But it's not adding some kind of a term.
No, all the other technical stuff, paragraph 4, 5, you know, that kind of stuff. But if it's just A, it's nothing substantive, which is living in at all. Again, the reason these two things are separated is because one person may want to sign this or that, not both. And the Rabbanim Israel insisted that it would have separate for that reason. Yes. The court will say, you take your wages, the $36,000 a year, you're going to have to give you a right. You're not going to give any option. Go right to your employer, or to the bank, however they work it, garnish the wages, and that's it. End of story.
The post-nuptial agreement, is this, you might have mentioned it earlier, I just missed it probably. Is it mandatory or is it recommended?
Nothing would say it's mandatory.
I guess you should have it if you're just starting out, but
I'm not up to you. I'm in paragraph 3D, okay. Very important. We try to make a compromise with some of the lawyers. The lawyers said, listen, is there anything wrong if the couple agrees before they're married to have their monetary matters settled in consonance with the New York law of equitable distribution? So the response was no. As long as there's a present law on the books, they agree in advance to hold by it. So, at least my opinion, the best would enforce it, because they agreed. They agreed everything. You cannot agree to the legal system as such. That would be a violation of what we've read in the Parashat Mishpatim and Rashi. First Rashi, the name was may help the Chavim, you can't go to a Goyish court or a Goyish system. But if you're agreeing to one particular statute as it exists today, when you get married, change 5 times in the interim, doesn't matter. You agree, it's not going to the system, you agree to the law on the books today, it seems to me nothing wrong. That's what D says. Signing disputes pursuant to paragraph 3b, the parties agree that the bed shall apply the act of the agreement law state of blank as interpreted in the date of this agreement, I just mentioned. Any property disputes may arise between them, the division of property and the question of support. But then you had to add this. Notwithstanding any other provision of the equitable distribution law, the bed may take into account the respective responsibilities of the parties at the end of the marriage, an additional and an exclusive factor in determining the dispute of the matter of property and support. In other words, New York equitable distribution is no fault. No fault, which means the woman could be a bad person. She was the one who was going to commit adultery, and she's the one who was trying to do anything. Whatever she tried to do, doesn't matter. 50-50. That was the whole reason for introducing this law. She's not going to Supreme Court or who's right, who's wrong. We're not interested in the job. We're not interested. No rabbi can agree to that. That's crazy. So if you want a quietly distribution, in terms of, I think that's all fairly, and you have to, and it's not withstanding, so she's really no good, then the bedroom will take that into account as well. Not just giving it over completely to a secular law, you mean one law. So now, if a person wishes, the woman wants to be protected somewhat, she can sign deed. Tell you the truth, if the woman signs nothing, she just crossed out B, C, and D, she's worse off, it seems to be much worse off, if she signs B and D. I'll tell you why. If she crosses the whole thing out, then she's really not protected by the first page. Because the Bezalel will say, oh, you're going to second the court. So therefore you're going against Halacha, so we're not going to give you anything. We're going to rule against her. On the other hand, if she signs B and D, and she's in second the court, we'll say, you're a lady, get out of second the court. But then when they got killed, we'll read English. We know that could be solution. If you're entitled to it, you're not an immoral person, whatever we said before. And you'll get your 50%. Even though the halakh itself wouldn't give it to you, but you agree with it in advance. Now, C is one of the stickiest, the custody. People have asked it to be removed, because it's ultimately in the hands of the court anyway. But I feel that if you've been part of the process of the court, you know it's not exactly Shlomo HaMelech. I mean, the court has a court psychologist, the best man can also have a court psychologist, or a best psychologist. Same story. So, it really does belong in a proper best. That's why the best is mentioned. I'm saying up front that there are certain bodies that are improper. Improper in money, improper in custody, improper in other things. Improper. This bed is a very bad name. Again, that's the fourth time I'm treating shame tonight. But there are bedrooms who don't do things properly, I agree. That's why I put in a particular bed, you can put them on your own. Put in three names of rabbis here. Let me give you just two cases, anecdotally. In one city, with two cases which a rabbi was involved in. One, they signed one of these contractual agreements. Put in the two rabbis, the third they'll pick. Jersey, I was from Brooklyn, and they broke up. Two hours came to me, we sat down, looked things out. It was given right away. Other case, they didn't sign one. They were killing each other for a year, fighting back and forth. In New York, New Jersey, court, bed. Thank God the get was finally given. But now that a lot of recriminations and aggravations should have been avoided. You know, if you go to lawyers, it's very, very bad. You're much better off if you know someone that's in this predicament to go into a rock and handle the whole thing from soup to nuts, or I'm not getting commercial now, but in my recent discussions, an attorney from Riverdale, he gave me the name of somebody who was a mediator, a lawyer, a social worker, a business movement. Very nice fellow, came to my house, we had a chat, and that's certainly much, much better than the lawyer. It was by definition adversarial. That's just the way they are. In their blood, you can't take it out of that. It's impossible. You can't. I mean, Hakshon. Husbands and friends, company excluded. I don't mean that they are by their personality. They're trained that way. It's like they're trained. Right away, he says black, you say white. He says they, you say nothing. That's the way it is. I may mention this when I spoke about this last Shabbos. It was a case, a sad case, in this community. Couple, child, and the marriage is going nowhere. After a while, they're sort of dead. Let's rebuild. The young people. They came to me, now you go to a lawyer and check it out. Don't you dare let the two lawyers speak to each other. The end. And then they got the best. Tragedy. True. It was a tragedy. But it could have been much worse tragedy. I hope they're all going to get married. I hope so. They should be happy. Something they have to get beyond these things. But that was the case where they did the goodwill. The purpose of the arbitration is that there should be, in effect, something just automatic. Constance Charlotte breaks up. They know in advance. They have to go to the in advance. They have to go to a certain bed, a certain abundance. They can't try to squeeze this way and the other way. And Now, when does the bible do that? First of all, the rabbi can make, try to reconcile it. You know, not so much recrimination at that point. If that fails, the rabbi says the marriage is gone, dead, cannot be resuscitated. So they'll say, okay, let's divide up things this way, the money this way, the children this way. It's involved, what do you do? See, myself, go to the bed. And everyone's happy. Speaks down the road.
Is that?
No problem at all. They agree. They agree to whatever we agree to in my study. They agree to in the legal papers. They're intelligent enough to make a bad situation for them to us. Unfortunately, in the real world, it's a distinct minority. Okay, almost a small minority, unfortunately. Due to recrimination, hatred, bitterness towards others. It makes it even worse. Usually. It's a little bit enlightened. Yeah.
So it's not necessary, based on that example, to name a full basis. Like to say, well, either to name three rabbis
or
to name...
One of my friends in Flapper says, the best to be chosen by the rabbi of the name or a successor in that congregation. So I'll go to Israel tomorrow, and he's going to leave those people hanging. He just thinks the shul will be there for a foreseeable future, the shul, until he writes.
Mm-hmm.
Chosen by that. You could do that too. There are options, there are many options.
Shouldn't they write a successor, though? Because what if it's 4 years later?
Right, so they put down the best of... well, I'm saying, probably some of the fine print maybe may take some of the stuff into account. I don't know.
Yeah, here, 5A, if any of the Beis Din members are unwilling or unable to serve.
Maybe.
community knows it, and you're trying to divorce this person, and yet you don't have proof, but the proof is in the air. I mean, people know that. People know. Your community knows that this person's not.
Doesn't matter.
Just is mistreating you, or is not good for you.
Okay.
Could that be used?
It could be used for something, but grounds to compel a divorce physically or monetarily probably would not suffice. As grounds for the harchokos, for the steps to put the person in a situation where they're not going to do them favors, etc., interact with them socially, probably would suffice. And the guy would either give in or not give in, because the case may be.
Community pressure.
It has an effect. You know, nothing works by itself. Some of this. You know, you don't conquer a major problem with just one approach. You try anything which works.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you.
And next week we're off to